Every morning in Kabul, the smoky, growly sounds of colorful vehicles, big and small, gather to then scatter to the four corners of Afghanistan. It's the Kabul Central Bus Station, the grand central terminal of a nation at war, with an infrastructure built by the Stone Age Soviet occupiers and the USA.
Ready each morning to negotiate the landmines, bomb craters, and simple potholes is Mohammed Waliz. The Kabul to Kandahar route has an additional twist. It's an active war zone between NATO and the Taliban, as well as the regular bandits and thieves.
Taliban don't bother us. Thieves bother us. They beat us. They beat passengers.
Mohammed has seen it all. For 30 years, he's driven thousands of passengers back and forth along what is possibly the country's most dangerous road, in arguably the world's most dangerous country. And complicating his job? U.S. General Petraeus and his plans for defeating the Taliban and enforcing security.
We are tired of Americans. They stop our vehicles, they fire at our tires, break our glass and don't give us route. A 30-minute journey takes as long as 3 hours.
Haji Parger runs a small transport company, and he's often needed in Kandahar as well as the Afghan capital. He says danger is one thing, but it's the behavior of foreign forces on routes like this that drives him and his passengers mad.
Their convoys block routes. They should know that. There are no suicide attackers in passenger vehicles. There's no fighting in these vehicles. They put passengers' vehicles in the middle for their own security.
The NATO surge has had another effect, dispersing the Taliban insurgents to places that used to be free of them. The journey north was once considered safe. Well, safe by local standards. It's now risky. You're more likely to be caught in the middle of crossfire than running a red. Bismillah drives the Kabul to Mazar-i-Sharif route in the north.
Security is ensured until Pulekhumri, but after that, there is no security. There are no security checkpoints during the night on the highway. The highway police can't move until Samangan province.
Samangan is way out in the middle of nowhere. Think Wild Wild West, except it's the Wild North. A Wyoming full of thugs, says Bismillah.
They operate under the name of Talib. They are thieves. They are not Talibs.
Our trip on the southern route from Kabul to Kandahar ends in Khost, right on the border, and El Paso to this Pakistan. The most popular form of transport is the wildly decorated minibus, though. Mohammed Wazir drives one heading southeast, a long trip made even longer by the annoying realities of a long Afghan war and its stubborn military convoys.
I'll be in Khost in 6 to 7 hours, but only if we don't come across a foreign convoy on the way. They don't allow us to overtake them, even if we have a dead body, a patient, or an injured person.
When you're involved in a long, long war, all kinds of jobs get complicated, right? Not just bus drivers.
We want to thank the BBC for getting
an incredible tape.
It really took us right there.
And we want to thank the BBC for bringing us Jill McGivering. She's the BBC South Asia editor. And Jill, you're actually reporting on another job which has become difficult because of security issues and because of the longstanding war in Afghanistan. Aid workers say that even reconstruction projects are under threat because President Karzai plans to ban foreign companies from using private security guards. Is that correct?
That's right, and it's raising quite a lot of issues for them about how they're going to keep safe in the future. President Karzai's argument is that he would rather that the money, instead of going to private contractors and private security firms, that it went into developing the Afghan army and the Afghan police force. He's saying, look, these guys can keep you safe, they can do the same job, and it makes more sense that we focus on that, people who are within our control and not unlicensed, as many of the private security firms are. But the trouble is, a lot of the development companies are responding by saying that's all very well, but at the moment there simply aren't the numbers, and there isn't the same level of professionalism that we need from the Afghan police and army. So if we don't have these private contractors to guard our projects and keep our workers safe, then we're not going to be able to operate.
What kind of projects are these, and what is the danger for the aid workers?
Well, the projects are all sorts of things. I mean, things like road building, projects to do with irrigation, things that help farmers in different areas, energy projects. You know, we're talking about Afghanistan being an extremely poor country, and there's an awful lot of rebuilding and construction to be done, starting with some real basics. And particularly those bigger projects. You think, imagine building a road or being in a remote area and building an energy plant. Of course, they're often away from areas that the military can support and away from urban areas. So they are at risk, particularly if they're working in areas where there is quite a strong presence of the Taliban.
So are they threatening to pull out, to end these construction projects, to bring the aid workers home if President Karzai goes forward with banning private security firms?
Well, that is certainly part of the concern. It may be a little bit of negotiating tactic, because clearly it would be fairly disastrous for the stability of the country and its long-term development if these projects all suddenly closed. And we're talking about, you know, around $1 billion worth of projects in all. But there have been reports now suggesting that some of these projects are starting to say, well, you know, frankly, we cannot operate if this ban is implemented as fully as President Karzai seems to be saying in the middle of December, not long to go now. And I think there are some frantic negotiations still going on between American officials and the Afghan government to try and see if they can find some kind of compromise, an exemption, for example, for some projects.
And in fact, this is not just a security issue, as important as that is. This is also an economic issue. Thousands and thousands of Afghans work on these reconstruction projects.
That's right. And unemployment is an extremely big issue. It's also to do with faith in the government, that people want to see this development delivered. And as you say, they need basic livelihood. So it could be quite catastrophic if these things really did close down.
Jill, any idea on when we'll get a decision from the president?
Early days. I mean, so far the president is standing firm. He's saying, this is my decision. I've given exemptions, for example, to embassies. I'm not giving them to development projects. But there's a lot of pressure. And I think that there will be negotiations in the next few days where they'll try very hard to say, look, you really have to change your mind on this.
Jill McGivern, BBC South Asia editor, thanks so much for joining us.